The third epistle of John. We'll take time just to read down the 14 verses of the letter. Third John, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth, or in truth. That fourth verse should be the prayer of every Christian parent. We think of our own children, but even as we think of those that are our spiritual children, as John is here, those that we've had the opportunity to have an influence upon spiritually, we don't just want to see them saved, we want to see them going on with God and walking with the Lord. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Just standing there, and we know the Lord will follow with his own blessing. That's the public reading of his word to our hearts tonight. Just to point out before we begin, that greeting at the end, in verse 14, peace be with thee. You think of this letter going to a church that has had trouble and unrest that has been found within it. And that's a very appropriate greeting. Peace be with thee. And we take that as our prayer as well, as we think of the church here, that the Lord's peace will rest upon it. He'll save us from contention and division and strife and all of those things. I trust this will be the conclusion of the little series that we've engaged in 3 John, depending on how time goes through the meeting tonight. But we have been looking at this little epistle, particularly the characters found within it. Apart from the apostle himself who wrote the letter, there are three other main characters referred to: Gaius, Diotrephes, and tonight we're going to take a little look at Demetrius. You read of him there in verse 12, Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. So here's the third character in John's third epistle, named Demetrius. Just to remind you, or to point out, maybe you've never noticed it before, but there's only one other mention of the name Demetrius in the Bible. It's in Acts chapter 19. Demetrius was the silversmith, or one of the silversmith, one of that craft, that industry, that made shrines for the great goddess Diana that was worshipped of the Ephesians. Now, we can't be sure if it is the same person that Demetrius mentioned in Acts 19, whether that's the same person spoken of here in John's third epistle. If it was, there certainly was a great change that had taken place in his life. Just to point out that John did have a strong connection with the church at Ephesus during his life and his ministry and his labours. So there is a strong possibility that it is the same man. But think of the change that took place. Here's a man that was involved, made a lot of money from idolatry, the worship of a heathen god, the great goddess Diana. And now he has become a follower and a prominent member of one of the New Testament churches. The name Demetrius means belonging to Demeter. Demeter was actually an agricultural goddess, or a goddess of rural life, that was worshipped. Remember that they were polytheistic in those societies. They worshipped many gods, but his name meant belonging to Demeter. But here's a man, and there's such a change in his life that he now belongs to the Lord, bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. Demetrius is one of the quiet men of the Bible. We've highlighted some of them to you before. What we mean by a quiet man of the Bible is there's not an awful lot said about them. Apart from what is mentioned there in Acts 19, if it is the same man, all that we know about this man Demetrius is found here in this one verse, the 12th verse of John's third epistle. It was very sad, very grieving, very tragic to read and to study and to consider the last time the life of Diotrephes and the very bad influence that he had upon this church. But how refreshing it is here, as we come toward the end of the letter, how blessed it is to read the account that is given about this man, Demetrius. And what stands out, brethren and sisters, what can't be missed about this man is how he's actually commended here in this letter. Remember Diotrephes, we highlighted, he was a contentious church member, caused a lot of contention, a lot of division. That's the character, the type of man he was. But here is a believer who is commended, commended by the apostle, a commended church member. What a difference. And I want you to see that it is given, this man Demetrius is given a good report by John in this place, under inspiration of the Spirit. He's given a report that is clear, a report that is very strong in its wording, it's very wide in its scope. And as we consider all that's said about this man, we have to say that this is an outstanding report for any believer to have. Demetrius was a man that not only did he love the truth, and I trust that that's true of all of us, he didn't just love the truth, but what marked his life was this. What caused him to stand out or stand apart was the fact that he lived the truth day by day. Now, let me say to you tonight, as we think of the election of office bearers, a little over a month's time or so, I want you to see, as we consider this man tonight, here's the sort of man to look for. A man that has this sort of commendation about his life. Or remember that we're looking for more than one office bearer that night. So here's the sort of men that you should be looking for in our local congregation. What you find here in this one verse is an example, a very clear example and a very clear illustration of a man or a member of the church that would make a good office bearer, and especially the sort of man that would make a good elder of the church. So I want to urge you, brethren and sisters, as you're praying, pray that the Lord would show you this calibre of a man. And even more than that, don't just pray that the Lord would show you this calibre of a man in the church. You pray that you would be this calibre of a believer. Seek to live your own life as Demetrius lived his. So I want tonight, brethren and sisters, to impress upon you, as you think about that, this is the standard for you to attain to. Don't just be looking around and thinking, well, that's the standard for so-and-so or for the men that should be in office. I want you to see that this is set out for us here tonight as the standard that you yourself, every Christian, ought to strive after this standard. Now notice in verse 12 that there's actually a fourfold commendation that is given of this man. And that's what I want us to consider. I want to highlight for you tonight the four areas of this man Demetrius' life that he's actually commended for. Notice first of all, there's mention there of society. He's commended by society. The text says, Demetrius has a good report of all men. Now don't miss it. Don't rush on. Remember sometimes in the Bible there's what are known as pauses. The Lord wants us to stop and take time to consider what we're reading. So don't miss it. What John is saying here is all men. You see the breadth of the commendation that is made. He had a good report of all men. Everyone that knew this man. Every person that was acquainted with him. Isn't that staggering when you consider it? Every person that was acquainted with him spoke very highly of his life and spoke very highly of his conduct. So here's a man whose life and testimony was beyond reproach, brethren and sisters. Not just beyond reproach before the church, before Christians, but here's a man, as you think of those words, all men, here's a man whose life was beyond reproach before the world, before the ungodly as well. And that's what is so challenging to our hearts tonight about those words. Even those who were his enemies, even those who were the enemies of the gospel, and as Paul once described it, those who are the enemies of the cross of Christ, even they gave him a good report. And how that speaks to our hearts tonight. Did you ever notice that little incident in the life of Daniel connected with the story of the den of lions? We're told in Daniel chapter 6 that the presidents and the princes, in other words, that's all the political leaders of the land, the presidents and the princes, all those that hated Daniel, they sought to find occasion against him. They were looking for fault in his life. They were looking for something that could be used against him. They were looking for something that they could highlight and point out. Look at the inconsistency in the way this man lives. They sought to find occasion against him. But you know what the Bible says? They found none. None occasion nor fault. Now just take that in, brethren and sisters. They found none. And it goes on, that verse goes on to say, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now think of that. Daniel's life, Daniel's conduct was such that not one error, not one fault could be found in it. It couldn't even be found by those who were looking for that fault, those who went out of their way to investigate for it. Think of it. They tried to find a fault. They tried If you want to use the sort of terminology they use in modern political circles, dig up dirt. Find a skeleton in his closet. But there was nothing. You know that's what happens in political circles, particularly when there's an election on. You want to discredit your opponent. So they go out of their way, they pay private investigators to look for something that could be used against them. And I have not a doubt that's what happened here. They sought to find occasion. They used every avenue that was open to them, but there was nothing that could be found. Isn't it true, brethren and sisters, there's not too many politicians with that reputation today? And we can go further, you know, because we have to say there's not too many Christians with that sort of reputation today either. You think if our lives were investigated every corner, every avenue, would we be like Daniel? And none occasion nor fault could be found. But Demetrius' life was just the same as Daniel's. All his acquaintances, every person that had ever come in contact with him, had the greatest respect for the way that he lived his life. Anybody that you would have asked in that community about this man's life, and I want to stress that, anybody, it says all, think of the breadth, the scope of it, anybody that you would have asked about his life could only give a good report of the way that he lived. And we need to ask tonight, what about ourselves? How do we compare in the light of that? Can I remind you, one of the qualifications for the office of the elder that Paul set out in 1 Timothy 3, remember the 16 qualifications that are listed there? He must have a good report of them that are without. Those words without, that's referring to those outside the church, those out in the world, the ungodly. Have a good report of those that are without. That's the sort of man Demetrius was. That's the sort of testimony that Demetrius had. And the question tonight is, brethren and sisters, do you have it? A good report of them that are without. But not only was he commended by society, notice that he was commended by the scriptures. The text goes on, and off the truth itself. What that means is that here's a man and his life is commended by the word of God itself. It means that you could test the life of Demetrius by the Bible and his life would pass the test. Now would you be able to pass that test tonight? That's a very difficult test. The young people coming up to exam season again, a lot of very difficult tests, very difficult examinations to face and to sit. Well, here's a very, very difficult test for the Christian, tested by the word. But in the case of Demetrius, he didn't fail the test, brethren and sisters. And I want you to see that what we've been told here, what we've been taught is this. If you compared what the Bible demands of the life of every Christian with the life that this man lived, the way he behaved, the way he conducted himself, the one would correspond with the other. There was no area of Demetrius' life where the word of God would condemn him. Isn't that a great thing, brethren and sisters? Heaven's smile, heaven's benediction was on the life of this man. The Lord was really saying of Demetrius as he lived his life in this local church, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We're looking for those words when we arrive home and stand before the Lord himself. But remember, the Lord can utter that benediction, that blessing upon your life while you're here below. Wasn't it true of the Saviour? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And that's what the Lord was saying here. His life wasn't condemned by the word. His life's commended by the Bible. The Lord's saying of this man, well done. Well done. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, brethren and sisters, Here is the most precious testimony that you can ever have. To have God's testimony that your life is pleasing to Him. The way you live mightn't please some other people, mightn't please the government of the day, mightn't please your worldly neighbours, the ungodly in your family. But remember, the most important thing is to have a life and a testimony that pleases Him. And that's the sort of man Demetrius was. You think of what the Bible says of Enoch. Before his translation, that word translation is that, they remember he was caught up to heaven. Enoch, one of those men that didn't die. He's a picture of what will happen those that are alive and remain whenever the Lord comes. We'll be caught up to meet in the air. But before his translation, Hebrews says he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's one of the greatest things to achieve in life, brethren and sisters. And I wonder, is that your testimony tonight? If you think of it like this, does God's word commend or condemn the life that you live? And remember, it needs to be underlined tonight that it is the Bible alone that sets the standard for the Christian and for the Christian life. Don't set the standard of your life by the life of other Christians. We live in a day of carnality and a day of worldliness, a day when people want to pull the standard down, the standard of Christian living. Don't set the standard of your life by other Christians. Don't set it by the world, by the things you see in television. Don't set the standard by society or by the laws that the government introduces. It's the scriptures alone that are the standard. The words of the catechism, man's, or the scriptures teach what duty God requires of man. And I want you to think of it like this. If there's a part of the Bible that you're deliberately disobeying, if there's a command of God revealing His will to you that you haven't obeyed or carried out, if that's true of you tonight, then you can't claim what Demetrius could claim. You can't claim the commendation of the scriptures in your life. There's another thing. He was commended not just by society, by the scriptures, but in the third place by the spiritual leaders. Because if you notice in verse 12 that John himself goes on to say, yea, and we also bear record. So it's clear from those words that John knew this man Demetrius personally. He had met him. We're not sure how many times or how well acquainted, but he certainly knew him. He was acquainted with this man and acquainted with his lifestyle. And that means that John could give his own personal testimony. John could give his own good report of Demetrius' life and his testimony. And remember, John describes himself. We took a little time at the beginning of the studies to dwell upon it, but he describes himself at the beginning of the letter as an elder, not as an apostle. Didn't stress his apostleship. He emphasized his eldership as an elder of the church. And what that's teaching us is this, brethren and sisters. What it means is that the man with the spiritual oversight of this congregation, the man that had the spiritual oversight of this Christian, he was able himself to give a good report of Demetrius' life. He was able to say to the church, to other Christians, he's a godly man. He lives a Christ-honouring, spirit-filled life. And I want to point out to you tonight something that in our day, there's not maybe the value put upon it that there should. It's one of those things that's brushed to the side. I want to point out that the view of the elders, the leaders of your church, of your life and your testimony is a very important thing. Very important thing in the Christian life. And we're taught that here. And it's a very important thing, men and women, the view of the elders of the church, of your life, in both time and eternity. And that's the teaching of the Scriptures. We'll dwell upon that in a moment. And sadly, that's not always something that's recognized by Christians themselves. Remember those words. We've quoted them a few times over the last few weeks as we've been preparing for the election. But remember those words in Hebrews. Obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Just as a shepherd watches the flock, just as the shepherd must closely, carefully watch the sheep, the condition, the position of every sheep in the flock. And all the farmers here tonight can identify and understand that picture. But just as the shepherd must carefully watch every sheep in the flock, in just the same way, the elder, the spiritual shepherd, watches over their flock. That the responsibility that God has given their congregation, and they watch over the flock so as to be able to guide them aright, especially guide them away from places of danger. But the sad thing is that today many sheep do want that guidance. In fact, in some instances, I actually resent that sort of oversight and that sort of guidance. But remember that as the shepherd watches faithfully and closely, one of the things that happens is he gets familiar with the life, the spirituality of every sheep, of every member of the congregation. The fact is that the shepherd that is faithful, he knows the flock well. The farmers understand that. The same with the herd. The herdsman that's faithful, he knows the cattle well. He knows every one of them personally and individually. And what is true naturally is also true spiritually. As the minister, the elder, watches over the flock faithfully, they get to know every sheep, every member of the congregation. And that is why at times the minister and the session is asked to give a reference for a member of the congregation. Sometimes it's given verbally. Mostly it's given in writing. For example, if a young person wants to go on summer outreach with the local youth council or some other missionary organisation, or if they want to go to Bible college, they want to go to the mission field, generally what happens is the session's asked their opinion of that person, to give their recommendation, have to give their assessment, their attitude, their spirituality, and so forth. There can be a lot of questions to answer. I can assure you of that. So some of the references are sent in the form of a questionnaire. And there can be a lot of information that is required on those occasions. But ultimately, what that reference must say is, are they suitable? Suitable to be in an outreach team? Suitable for the ministry? Suitable candidate for the mission field? And you'll know as well that often the oversight can be asked to write a job reference and so on. It's a sad reflection in many that Christians think that they can live as they like, and then when the time is required, a very nice wee letter can be written for them and about them whenever it is needed. Commendation of the spiritual leaders. That's what John is giving here, himself, in this place. I put the question to you tonight. Could you get it? Does your life, your conduct warrant it? And let me remind you, as I hinted a little earlier, that finally and ultimately the account of the elders that they will give of your life is not the one that they will give in this world, or given this life. It's not the one they'll give before the world, before the church, even before the presbytery. Ultimately and finally, the count that the elders will give of your life is the one they'll give before the Lord on the great day of judgment. They watch for your souls as they that must give an account. That's what those words ultimately and finally mean. That day when they will stand before God, on that great day, they will be called forth by the Lord himself to give a report about your Christian life, how you lived and laboured in the church here in Armagh, and how solemn that is, brethren and sisters. And I want you to think of that and think of what sort of report will that be. What would have to be said about your behaviour as a Christian, your attitude, attitude to the Word of God, attitude to the men of God, and so forth. The importance of being commended by spiritual leaders, as this man Demetrius was. And then the final commendation that he has, I'll do this one quite quickly, the saints. The end of verse 12, it says, ye know that our record is true. John's speaking there to Gaius. Gaius knew Demetrius, was familiar with his life. John is saying, you can't deny what I'm saying. You know that my commendation is true. John is saying to this saint of God, to Gaius, you know yourself how commendable his life and behaviour is. And what Gaius knew about Demetrius personally, so too did all the saints. So too did all the church members. His Christian character, his exemplary conduct, it wasn't just obvious to one saint. It was obvious to all the church. And brethren and sisters, this type of Christian, the sort of man we're talking about tonight, is scarce. They're few and far between. You don't find too many of them in church circles. The type of member that is a blessing to the church by the way they live, they do great good. So I want you to, as we think of all of those things, ask yourself, what sort of report would other Christians give of your life? And just think of your own. Don't be thinking of what report they might give of somebody else's life. You'll have enough to keep you occupied tonight just thinking of the report would be given of your own life. So here's Demetrius' fourfold commendation by society, the scriptures, the spiritual leaders, and the saints. And think of this. What a great thing, brethren and sisters, it would be when you have departed from this scene of time, if what you were remembered for was the fact of the great commendation that you had as a church member, how you were commended for the life and testimony that you had. And I want you to think about that tonight. And I want to urge you, brethren and sisters, strive after that name. Strive after that testimony and that reputation. And whenever you think of this fourfold commendation, and think of how wide it is, it really takes in everything and everyone. But when you think of how wide this commendation is, you learn a very great lesson about this man, Demetrius, and that is his life was consistent. It's not something that is so lacking if we're honest. Consistent Christian conduct. His life was the same everywhere. He lived the same consistent life in all company. He didn't put on his Christian life the same way he put on a suit to come to church, act all holy in church when he was among the Christians, and then live like the devil the rest of the time. No, his testimony was always the same. We have been asking through these studies, which of these church members are you like? Well, I want you to think this evening, ask yourself, are you like Demetrius? Do you have the fourfold commendation that he had tonight? Do you have the consistent walk, the consistent life that he displayed? And I'll mention this to you in closing. It's an important way just to finish the studies. I want you to ask yourself, why did John give or present Gaius with this fourfold commendation of Demetrius' life? Well, there's a very good reason for it. Remember what we told you at the beginning. The key verse of this letter is verse 11. That key verse tells us why the epistle was written in the first place. Notice the opening words of the letter. It says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good." That word follow, it's a very interesting word. It's the Greek word that we get our word mimic from. The reality is that by nature we like to mimic, maybe some a little more than others. I was in Sandown Church preaching one Sunday, and the clerk of session introduced me as the Reverend David McElveen. Little slip of the tongue. The people all laughed. He couldn't understand why they'd laughed. And then he realised what he had done. And he said to the people, well, their names start the same. Their surnames begin MC. So I told Tommy after, don't worry, I said this publicly in the meeting, I've been introduced in many ways over the years, and I've been introduced as Mr. McElveen several times. And I said to the congregation, if you really want, I can do Mr. McElveen for you. But I didn't realise that Mrs. McElveen was actually in the meeting until I went down to the door that day. But sometimes we like to mimic. Well, that's where you get the word from. It says, follow not or mimic not that which is evil. What we normally do is we watch people closely. Closely enough to be able to imitate the way they live. And what John was afraid of, brethren and sisters, when he heard about what was happening in this church, all the trouble, and how this man Diotrephes was trying to influence the church, John was afraid that Gaius would follow, he would imitate the wrong man, he would mimic the wrong person in the Christian life that he lived. And so he warns Gaius, and he warns him, as you can see, when he talks about prating against us with malicious words and so on, he warns Gaius in the clearest, strongest manner not to be like Diotrephes, not to follow his example. But he says, follow Demetrius. Really what he's saying to Gaius is, you take Demetrius as a pattern for your life and follow and mimic him in all that you seek to do. And the lesson is this, brethren and sisters. It's probably the outstanding lesson of the book, the little epistle. The lesson's very important. As a Christian, you should choose your examples carefully. The people that you make your examples in life. It's sad, but it's true nonetheless. There are not only good examples in life and good examples in the church, but they're also bad examples. Bad examples, not just in life. This letter tells us and teaches us there are bad examples in the church as well. And we need to pause and ask for a moment, which are you? What sort of example do you give? Peter said to the elders, being ensamples to the flock. That word ensamples is the idea of being an example. And elders need to be those that set the right example for the congregation. And samples to the flock. Demetrius was that sort of man. His life could be picked out. He's a man that could be pointed to. That's really what John's doing here. His life could be pointed to. And Christians could be told, as John's telling Gaius, he's saying, live like him. Live your life exactly the same way that that man is living his. That's the way that you should live, brethren and sisters. That's the sort of person you should strive to be. And that's the sort of person to choose for office. In fact, it's the only sort of person to choose for office. So I repeat that to you as I finish. That important sentence I gave you a moment or two ago. Choose your examples carefully. And essentially, that's what you will do on the 2nd of June. You will choose those who will be your examples, ensamples, as Peter puts it, to the flock. Those who will be the examples to lead this work on for years to come. So choose your examples carefully. And this is the sort of man that the Word of God says you should choose. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. You know, the commentators actually reckon he's suggesting there that Diotrephes wasn't even saved. In those words, he that doeth evil hath not seen God. But let me finish with the text. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. May God bless his word tonight to all our hearts.